There's no apartments in Tuscany.
There.
Even if you want to rent one.
How come?
You can't do it.
Why?
Do you want to rent one?
Not really.
You can't. There's nothing available.
Okay.
And scene. Big Seinfeld fan, are you?
I didn't even realize that's where you're going. I have seen every episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I don't remember that though.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just do the show then. Hello and welcome to episode 294 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Is the Maestro one where he pees on the couch?
Possibly. I don't remember now. I remember the one... There was multiple Maestros, I think.
No, I don't think that was the Maestro. That was not the Maestro. The pee on the couch was a different
one. Oh, no, that was Poppy.
Yeah, that's right.
That was Poppy, yeah. No, the Maestro was they played pool with the cue sticks.
Yes.
And folded the pants up and played in their boxer shorts.
I do remember now.
And then he told him he could not rent a place in Tuscany. There was nothing available. I can attest to the fact that there are things available. I just got back from there.
Sorry, my wife is passing me notes. I feel like I'm on a radio show. And they're not even jokes because, first of all, I'm not wearing my glasses, so I could hardly read the note. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it was tell Al that that I really, really don't like him. Something along those lines. Yeah, but no, it had nothing to do with you whatsoever.
We know that's not true.
No, she likes you.
Obviously.
Yeah, not more than a friend, though.
Well.
Okay.
We're all in our 40s now.
This is getting awkward. Okay, let's move it along.
That was all on you.
Okay.
Everything good? You dialed in note-wise?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I lost my train of thought. What's going... Oh, Amazon. If you are going to buy a Maestro or an apartment in Tuscany, buy it on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out.
Sure. There's probably a Lego model set, a Tuscany Lego model set. You can even build your own... Tuscany.
Don't waste your money on that, though.
Okay.
Just come on. Who are we kidding? Okay.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah. Just at that point, just take 5% of what that costs and just mail it directly to us. Okay. Save yourself the 95%. What is going on, Adam? We're back live. That's what's going on.
Live.
Well, not live. Live.
We're recording it in the same week. What's going on today? I just heard this on the radio. I haven't Googled it or anything, but I heard on the radio today that today is Photography Day.
I heard it's World Photography Day, yeah.
I didn't know it was World. I didn't know if it was Canada. I didn't know if it was BC.
Just Richmond.
I didn't know if it was just my house. but I heard on the radio that it was Photography Day, so I just thought I'd let you know that.
Yeah, I'm okay. I already did. I happened to see that by complete accident. Don't think I needed to.
Not sure I know what it means.
No. Or care.
Go take a picture.
Yeah. Probably celebrating something to do with photography.
Okay.
Maybe they have the 5D Mark IV rumor. Okay. Maybe. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Looks good, though. Yeah, so we've been away for a couple of weeks. We recorded a bunch of episodes ahead of time, but now we're back on track. So this is on Friday. It'll come out Monday.
Yes.
Feels weird. Feels weird to be podcasting again.
I feel like we haven't had much of a break.
Me too.
Felt like I just finished recording.
Yes. Hey, so listen, before we get rolling in the show, I want to appeal to the listeners.
Okay.
Both of you.
Yeah.
Do
I count?
Yeah. Well, okay. No, because we're on the same account, Twitter-wise. Okay. We need your help. Listeners, we're talking to you. We need your help. Just before I left for vacation a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or more, I sent a tweet out to Mr. David Hobby, the strobist, saying, hey, we got our 300th episode coming up, to say that he was an inspiration for our show existing is actually an understatement. Like, okay. Really, like he's a big part of why this show is happening. And I would love to have him on the show. Not necessarily the 300th, but sometime soon. I'd love to have him on the show. So I sent one tweet, did not hear back. I'm going to pursue it, as you told me to do.
Yeah, pit bullet.
I will, like, that Miami rapper?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll go buy a white suit, shave my head. Push play on an iPod and just rake in millions. That's what I'll do.
Okay.
Good for him, Mr. Worldwide. Yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'll get in touch again, but it will help us if our listeners actually tweet him as well at Strobist and say, "Hey, listen, please do the show. Please go on the Two Hosers show."
Okay.
So that's it. And so
if I knew how to tweet, I would tweet him.
Yeah, but I've already tweeted him, and we have the one account, you and I, that you've never used, but that's okay. Even if you were to use it, one's already come from our account.
Okay, so should I get my wife to tweet him?
It's not going to hurt.
Okay, all right. Because that's the other person I know that knows how to use Twitter.
So yeah, so please put out, you know, at Strobus, please have him on the show. Please have the at Two Hosers on the show. That way our Twitter thing is on there as well.
Please have, I'm just writing this down.
Or something like that, whatever.
Please
it is.
Have.
No, please go on their show. Please. You'll figure it out.
Go on their show.
No, okay. No. Don't. I don't want anything canned. I don't want anything, like, you have to speak from the heart. Or warn him to not come on the show. It's up to you.
Okay.
Tell him, hey, seriously, do not waste your time.
I'm going to tweet that.
that might be good, but we're just going to neg the guy.
Whatever you do, don't go on their show.
That's how I wield chicks, man. I comp assault them and then just ignore them for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try this.
It's a hot move. Okay. So there's that. Next thing on the agenda in terms of what's going on. By the time this airs, this will have already happened, but it hasn't happened yet because it's tomorrow. The Tragically Hip concert will be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to watch it?
Maybe.
Wow.
Probably not. I might record it. It's not on my list of top five things to do tomorrow. Let's put it that way.
Wow. You might be the only Canadian.
I enjoy the Tragically Hip, and I don't feel as though that enjoyment will change whether or not I watch the concert tomorrow.
Okay, I'm going to watch it, even though it's a 2:30 a.m. start my time.
Yeah, I think they're breaking from any Olympic coverage to CBC's covering it.
Really?
Here. Yeah, so that's kind of a big deal.
That is a big deal.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I will record it and I'll watch it at some point, but watching it live, probably not.
It's kind of I can't think of it, I would say unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a thing, and so it's going to be kind of a cool event. So hopefully everybody enjoyed it.
Okay, that's big news.
Other big news, Push started our car today.
Okay.
Three times.
Uh-oh.
Had a dead battery.
Yeah.
I think. Okay, I know the battery was dead. Don't know why it was dead. Don't know what happened. Might be a battery might be done. I don't know if somebody left the lights on. I really don't know.
But once you get it started, shouldn't the battery recharge itself?
Assuming you drive long enough, which we did not. So we
even
drove
if it was running for 10 or 15 minutes, it should start again.
It did.
Okay.
It started, but if 10 minutes, it'll start again. But what we did, we drove 10 minutes over to the in-laws' house, spent the day splitting firewood because it's August, and I'm Canadian. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then but on the way over, because on the way out, we're leaving here. We're leaving. The car wouldn't start, and so my wife panicked because that's what she does. I said, "Oh, hang on. We drive a stick shift here because everybody does in Europe." And I said, "Don't worry, you know, we'll push starting." She's like, "Oh, none of the neighbors are around. Everyone's on holidays, and what can we do? We can't get a jump start." And I said, "Well, we'll just push start it." She had no idea what I was talking about. No clue. I was like, "Well, okay, here we go." So I said, you know, she didn't want to push. We had the two kids in the car. I'm like, obviously, I'm not going to make her push. But I said, like, do you know how to do this? Yeah, I think so. I don't think you do. And I don't want to push the car and then have you mess it up, because that's not that, that's not that fun.
Right.
Anyway, so but whatever, we tried it once. She did not know how to do it. So then we got the car over to just down the street a little bit, this little hit, little downhill part. So I said, we're at the top of the hill. I'm like, all right, get the car set for her. I'm like, all you gotta do is pop, when I say go, pop the clutch, and then when it fires up, put it back in the end. She couldn't do it.
Oh, no.
So that's okay. I jumped in on the hill part and just took care of it myself.
Save the day.
Well, not save the day. I've done it a number of times. Have you ever push started a car?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And so anyway, so we got it fired up, no problem, and got, you know, drove the 10 minutes, parked it on a hill, which we don't normally do, but we parked a little ways away from the in-laws so we could leave it on a hill in case it wouldn't start again. We could just quickly do it. So we, end of the day, we went and started it, started fine, but I said, turn it off, see if it'll start twice. It would not start twice.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So anyways, we're on the hill, fired up, no problem. Anyways, my point is, for those of you who have not push started a car, I don't know if this is still a thing in general. When's the last time you've done it?
Would have been in high school.
Yeah, the same with me, probably. Because generally, I would just, you know.
I had an old car that would, and it's kind of out of necessity. When you have an old car that the battery could die at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to do this just so that you don't get stranded. So if there was another car nearby, the easier version is just jumper cables, which I always had in my car.
I disagree.
Jumper cables is like takes 15 seconds. Again, if you're by yourself, you'd rather have the jumper cables. Because
I disagree.
No, you would, because now you're not only asking a stranger to pull up and pop their hood, now you're asking a stranger to push your car, and I'd rather just ask them to pop the hood, yeah.
Have you never push started your own car by yourself?
Not if there isn't a hill.
I guess I'm the champion.
Yeah, I've never push started it myself.
I've done that many times.
So you just kind of have the door open. I've tried, mm-hmm. So you just have the door open on that side. You get it going, and then you just jump in the driver's seat.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done it a number of times, but only with when I was with a friend. Otherwise, I would just basically flag somebody down and jump start it. Yeah.
Easier with a friend. Definitely easier with a friend. Or have you ever been driving along and seen, you know, with your buddies in the car, seen a guy having, you know, who needs a push start, jump out and help him push.
Yes.
Done that many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, there's that. But so for the people listening at home who've never done this, and maybe it'll come up, maybe it won't, maybe we'll save one person here.
Well, in North America anyways, nowadays, it's very hard to find manual transmissions. Like I've always driven a stick shift from the time I was in high school and still drive a stick shift now, except for our SUV is automatic because it doesn't come in a stick. But that's the thing is the sticks are definitely dying out here. So I don't think there's a need for it here as much.
Right. Let's assume it happens.
Okay.
Okay. I want to go over two things because my wife did not know. She knew the general idea of what was going to happen, but did not know how to do it.
Okay.
So here's your move. Put the car into gear.
Yes.
What gear?
I'm going to say first.
Wrong.
Really?
Yep. This is your move to make your life simple. Put it in second.
Really?
Correct. I absolutely promise you I'm not just being difficult. You put it in the first, the way most cars are geared, it's really gonna jump and lurch. Second gear will be a much smoother start, make it a lot easier on you.
Okay.
Put it in the second gear. And then before you even start pushing, turn the ignition on all the way and let go of the key.
Okay.
So a lot of people want to do it so that like they basically have the clutch in while they're riding, and then as soon as they pop the clutch, they flip the ignition on.
Okay.
You don't need to do it. As long as it's already on all the way, as soon as you pop the clutch, it's going to fire up.
Okay.
So it makes your life a lot easier. So that's it. Second gear, key all the way on. Once you're moving, you pop that clutch. As soon as you feel it start to go, pop the clutch back in. And then just rev the engine and you're good to go.
All right, I feel like we all learned something today.
I think the only thing you learned was second gear,
Gear thing. And I just assume that that's always how. I mean, it makes sense that you say that, but it always worked in first gear. But yeah, you get a little bit of a kick.
You do get a bit of a kick. Avoid that kick. Okay. Stay in second gear. All right. So As mentioned earlier, we'll get back into the photo stuff now.
Photography day.
Did you shoot anything interesting in the 4 weeks that we haven't talked?
Yeah, shot lots of interesting stuff.
Okay. Pick one thing, because we don't want to go on forever today, do we?
Maybe.
Okay, go on. Forever.
I'll pick one thing. Well, one thing I'll talk about in the photo challenge, because that was interesting, but I'll talk about it when we hit the photo challenge. Mm-hmm. The other thing would be we made our annual trip, second annual trip to Soyuz, British Columbia, up in the interior of BC last week. So
I love names of Canadian cities.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Soyuz is a great one.
Yeah, yeah.
Karamias, also good.
I think Soyuz is Osoyoos, a Soyuz. Uh-huh. Anyways, it's awesome.
Medicine Hat.
It's not Medicine Hat. It's a beautiful place where you would go
Thunder
in the summer.
Bay.
Nice as well.
I'm not done naming
places. Beautiful place in the interior of BC where you would go in the summer. Small town.
Moose Jaw.
Basically, a summer getaway destination. It's a ghost town in the wintertime, from what I'm told. Nobody goes there. And it's a tiny little town. But during the summer, they have a beautiful lake, the warmest lake in BC, if not one of the warmest lakes in Canada, because of how shallow it is, and how warm it is in this area of the world. It is beautiful. It's like 85 degrees in the water. So it's beautiful. So did that for a few days and obviously photographed it. I brought my 5D Mark I, the classic, the 5D one, and just a 50 mil lens this time. And that's it. That was my whole kit. No flash, no nothing. And just take that camera body and lens right out into the water and basically only shot right at sunset. So only took the camera out in the evening in the sort of last, I don't know, 20 minutes before sun. There was always an evening swim. So that was kind of a routine that I would go out in the water with the kids like in the last 20 minutes. They always wanted to get one more swim in before the sun went down. And then we'd sort of catch that golden light right before the sun went down, and then another, 20-30 minutes of that sort of blue hour light right after the sun's down. And just, you can't miss with photos. You go to a beautiful location, go in the water with your kids and shoot at that time, and you're going to get just beautiful pictures. So I will post a little album of some Soyuz pictures mixed in with maybe some Gary Point pictures that I took at about the same time of day to kind of catch people up on what we're doing summer-wise in this part of the world.
It's nice to have the know-how to just position yourself to shoot at magic hour.
Yeah, it is awesome. And I was telling friends, like we met some, I had a friend that just coincidentally also happened to be summer vacationing up in Soyuz while we were there. And we met up with him and I was just kind of giving him a few photo tips. And I basically said what I just said there, which is, because he had his iPhone. He said, what am I going to do? And I said, well, you're going to basically wait until 7:30 and then you're going to go in the water with your kids, put your back to the sun that's about to go down, and you can take photos quite nicely for the next half hour and everything will look great.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the magic to it right there.
Love it. No, we did this sort of a similar thing. We went to the beach in Tuscany. We spent a week there and was pretty much, I think, seven of the eight nights, we were down at the beach for sunset because it was awesome. Just amazing light, the whole deal. Put yourself in a good position.
Well, and so much so that now on vacations, I promise you, I did not take my camera out to take pictures in the water at any other time of day. That was it. I just didn't even bother. I just thought whatever I'm going to get at sunset is going to be good. And that's good enough as far as what I need from my vacation photos. I don't want to be sort of weeding through a whole bunch of these crappy photos, deciding if anything is worth keeping. No, I'm only going to take photos at this time of day and that'll be fine. And it also will make for less time of me taking photos and more time of just enjoying vacation. So it was perfect. Family knew that was the only time the camera was coming out.
We should have had this conversation 2 weeks ago because I went the other way.
Okay.
No, I didn't really overshoot, but you think I did.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So my interesting topic, I'll talk about Tuscany in the topic section today, but I did have an interesting thing happen yesterday at the
photography house. Photography related.
Yeah, shooting. Did you shoot anything interesting? Yes, something happened yesterday. That's my answer.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. Sorry.
Yeah, 11:30 in the morning. I'm busy, kind of, you know, calling my vacation photos, and the doorbell rings unexpectedly, and there's a lady there who I don't know. Turns out she's one of our neighbors, but that's me. Says, "Hey, yeah, I saw some pictures that you took of somebody else, and." Like to know, you know, will you photograph my kids? And she's an older lady, so her kids are like, you know, in their 40s, right? She's like, yeah, I would like to do, you know, a group photo of my kids. Is that something you can do? I said, yeah, sure, no problem. And she's like, okay, in half an hour? yeah, fine. So I just... Okay, we'll come back in half an hour. So I went down, and the studio wasn't set up. Again, we'd been on vacation, so I went and quickly set up the studio. They wanted a white background shot. So that's specifically what they wanted.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, that's no problem. And so went.
So
and
wait
set
a second.
On.
Wait, back up a second, because yeah. Maybe it's my short attention span, or did I miss something? So how did she know that you did this?
The person who used to live here, who we bought the house from, still lives in the neighborhood.
Okay.
And so
it was sort of a word of mouth deal.
Well, I had taken photos of her kids for a Christmas thing like last year.
Okay.
And I guess she must have been over for coffee, seeing the photos, and said, "Hey, who took those?" And so then,
gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So I just kind of knocked on the door, and
she wasn't peering through your windows and seeing you doing this. And...
Well, she was, but that was more so after.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't put a shirt on. It worked out.
Okay.
And so anyways, yeah, so 20 minutes later or half an hour later, I was taking photos and that was it. And I'm done in 20 minutes. And so I thought, wow, is this really, this is the best business model ever. You just sit at home and then when someone knocks on the door, you go and take their picture and move on.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah. Forget advertising. Forget this Facebook stuff.
Yeah.
Forget Twitter. You just sit there and wait. Yeah. So... You know, like a spider spinning his web. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Photo challenge. Let's get right into it. Before I left on vacation, I said, hey, you know what we should do is sunsets. Because I know you're going to see some sunsets.
Right.
I was going to see some sunsets. Let's do sunset.
Okay.
Here we are. Who's going first, me or you?
I'll go first. And I'll go first because it kind of goes along the same lines as the story you just told about the lady who knocked on your door for photos. I had I was away for a couple of days with the family. I think this was just before we went to Osoyoos. Yeah, just before we went to Osoyoos, had a phone call message when we got home that was basically a guy from Edmonton, a listener, said, "Oh, hey, Adam, I know you're from the Two Hosers, and I'm from Edmonton, but I'm vacationing in BC, and just wondering if you would do some photos of me and my kids when I get to Vancouver in a week from now." So again, I was away, so got this voice message, and I was like, that's pretty cool. That's also a first.
How did he call you?
Well, so he must have just known. I didn't get into the specifics, but he basically looked me up. So he knew, you know, I lived in Richmond and that was near Vancouver and he knew my name. And so he basically just telephone booked me. Wow. So, yeah. So I said, that's pretty, you know, I appreciate the effort. Right. Mm-hmm. So he left his number and I called him and he was a really nice guy and basically said that, you know, he's kind of where I was at, you know, 5 years ago when I started and, you know, is never in the pictures, but is always behind the camera. But, yeah, he liked, the stuff that he'd seen of mine and would be, wanting for, you know, me to come do some photos for him and his kids. And he said, you know, they're staying in Kitsilano and, you know, would I be willing to come down and do some photos at the beach of him when they're in town? And I looked at my calendar and said, yeah, sure. That's no problem. So that's what I did. So I did a paid photo shoot for a listener, you know, via the podcast marketing system. So there you go. There's the other sit at home and, podcast listeners call you for work as well. So
okay, off air, you and I will talk about who got paid more and then just, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I do the conversion.
I'm only joking.
Yeah, no, it was kind of a really, I was happy to do it, and this guy was super nice, and it was just one of those, hey, that's the power of the internet.
I think the important takeaway is here is that we do have listeners.
Yeah, we do. And just kind of, again, it was cool how it all worked out. And so anyways, let's talk about the photo challenge.
Do you want to say his first name or not?
Sure, it's Aaron. And he gave me the okay to post some photos. So I'm going to post a whole album of some of the pictures, because this photo is very clearly different than everything else I took. I mean, this is the photo challenge photo I took is straight into the sun with maybe 20 minutes before the sun's fully down. And
22
it's,
minutes. I Googled it.
Yeah. So it's a lens.
I'm not joking you. I actually Googled it.
Yeah. And I'd say that's probably pretty accurate to the day. And, and so, yeah, it was just one of those, hey, I'm going to do, he was playing with his kid and throwing him up and down. And I basically just, you know, play the hand you're dealt. This is where I was standing. This is what was happening. And, so I shot right into the sunset, and I love lens flare. And most of the photos were taken, you know, with my back to the sun and the nice orange light in this, you know, on the other side, at my back for this photo is the skyline and the water and everything. And so I love that shot. But
is this Kitts Beach or Spanish Banks?
This is Spanish Banks. So I shot the heck out of that shot. And this was something totally different. And I just thought, you know what, this is going to be different than I envisioned what you were going to do. So I thought, well, let's give a different look entirely, because you can do this at sunset too. It's not a picture per se of the sunset, but if I put my back to him and took the most of the photos with the skyline and the water and everything, I thought, well, that's really not even including the sunset in the picture. That's just using the light of the sunset. So I thought that might be a bit of a cop out. So I went with this. And other photos that I sort of thought of putting in, not of this particular photo shoot, but were the silhouette photos. I got my kids jumping off logs at Gary Point Park, and you know, the cool silhouette with the sunset in behind. But I've done that before in a photo challenge. I'm not sure I've done this kind of photo for a photo challenge. So I liked the expression. It's one of those things that if I didn't have many photos of me and my kids, I would love a photo like this, because it's different than everything else that I'm probably going to be able to take on my own. And if I hand my camera to my wife, I doubt I'm going to get this.
Probably not.
Unless it's just a happy accident. Yeah, unless it's a happy accident. This is tough sledding for focus. Yeah.
This is tough sledding for focus. Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's great. And I also like the fact that it's a listener. That's pretty cool. So
yeah. So
no, I definitely
cool.
like that. I like the fact that you went a different direction with your standard sunset. And it's funny you say that, because I did the same. I had so many different things to choose from, because, well, I saw a lot of sunsets on our vacation.
Yeah.
And shot a lot of different things. I'm going to post a bunch, just a few pictures from the Tuscany trip. And a couple of them are sunset photos. So you can see that I did the silhouette of my kids at the beach.
Right.
That's not my challenge photo, but it'll be in the rest of the photos. You can have a look if you like. And then I also shot one the other direction. I thought, okay, what if I shoot right at sunset, or just after the sun's gone down, and shoot my daughter the other way, because Adam won't be expecting that. He'll be expecting me shooting a silhouette. Mm-hmm. So I shot one of those as well, which I like, but again, ultimately just decided not to use. So the one I did use is that one, and I gave it to you in full size, because I think kind of needs to be full size.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
There you go. That's my sunset photo.
It's a sailboat.
Ironically, I got a phone call the day before, and it was a listener who said, hey, I'm going to sail by on a sailboat. Can you take my picture right in the sunset?
Right.
Yeah. And he's from Calgary. Sorry. No. Lethbridge.
Okay.
Yeah, from Lethbridge. No. That's not a lie.
Yeah.
No, we were shooting all kinds of stuff at the sunset. Now, this is at a place called, just out of time, a little town called Donoratico on the Mediterranean coast of Italy. And we were out one evening, and I'm looking for a nice sunset photo. And I saw this boat come by, and I thought, I don't want to take just a regular sunset photo. I want to have something in there. And this is what I came up with.
Okay.
I like it.
It's fine.
So,
It's fine. I don't know. This is again, it falls under the umbrella of too artsy for me. Way too much negative space for me. I like this photo if I cropped it down to and got rid of basically all of what you've included. I would have basically gotten rid of. I would have kept the orange and the yellow. And as soon as it got blue, I would have said, forget all of that. Like this would be my crop version would be very, very different. And so, but again, that's your artistic license. That's fine. That's what you like. It's not the same as what I like. There's nothing wrong with your version. It's not as good as my version, but there's nothing wrong with it.
But all kidding aside, and nothing to do with vindication, nothing. I promise because I in the nicest possible way, and I know you feel the same way, but in the nicest possible way, I actually don't care what you think on that subject.
Nor should you.
And I know you feel the same way because we feel differently. I love negative space. I love the feeling of loneliness because, you know, like this is the ocean and like he's the, I didn't Photoshop any other boats out. That was all that was out there.
Right.
You know, and just off to the left, you can't quite see it because of the haze. That's the island Elba. Where Napoleon went and stayed for a bit, but you can't see it. Like that's the point. It's like there's nothing. And for me, and I'm gonna talk about this in a future show. I have something a little bit odd lined up. That has a lot to do with exactly this. But I would love to hear from the listeners. Just let me know. Adam, go ahead and crop this photo if you want to take the time. Go ahead and Take the full size one, whatever you want, or the smaller one. Crop it to what you think you would do.
Okay.
And I would love to hear people's opinion. Now, I don't care if it's, you know, like Adam's or mine better. It's not going to be a competition. I'm legitimately curious to know what people think.
Okay.
So I happen to like it. I happen to like the blue and whatnot and where the sailboat is. I would like the sailboat to be a couple of mils to the right, just so that the sun was shining through the sails. Couldn't quite make it happen. I was kind of surprised. I didn't see the sailboat coming from far away. I didn't have time to get ready. So in retrospect, that would be the only thing that really I would change.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay. All right.
Alrighty. This week's topic is Tuscany. I just got back from a vacation. We talked about a little bit last week, which was recorded before I left. And the big question was, will he bring the 50mm lens?
We're all waiting for the answer.
I brought it.
Yeah.
Used it.
Okay. And all the other lenses you brought?
I used everything I brought. Every single thing I brought, I used.
Only because you had to.
No. Okay, that's not true. I didn't use the backup batteries for the flash. I did not go through enough battery power on my flash to require the backups.
Okay, good for you.
But I did use the flash, barely. And yeah, other than that, I did use everything. And did I need everything?
No.
Yeah.
No. Maybe. You definitely did not.
All right. Well, it's actually a yes and no. So there you go.
Here, what we talked about. Okay. So just let me make a quick point here. We talked about on one of the last podcasts. I had gone somewhere. I can't even remember where it was, but all I had packed was an 85mm and the 5D Mark I, right? So that was the kit, and there was wide open space, and so you know you could back up or move in, but that was a pretty good kit for going away for a few days, and you know you just basically adapt to the situation, and some things you're just not going to shoot because you're too tight or whatever. On the last little vacation I went away, I decided to take the 50mm and the 5D Classic. Also perfectly happy. Maybe you end up cropping a few photos if you want something tighter, but ultimately works just fine. Didn't need another lens either way. So that's kind of my point is if you take the 50, you take the 85, or if you just take the 70 to 200, you'll make it work. That's just kind of how it happens, right?
And that actually speaks to, ironically, to my sailboat picture and sort of my attitude. And again, something that I'm teasing for a future episode. That speaks exactly to that in terms of that philosophy of it. However, I did. I found I ended up shooting the bulk of my photos I shot with the 40D and the 30mm lens, just because of the nature of what I was shooting. But I did shoot with the 85 on the 40D just to get some really cool beach shots, and did shoot with the 5D Classic as well with the 50mm. So I did shoot with everything, not because I had to or just because I thought, oh, I better do this. I really did need it. Could have got by without some of it, but glad I didn't. So, with that, Tuscany, here's what happened. We drove down,
because
we live in Germany, and so that's something you can do. Board the in-laws' RV, and it's about 12-hour drive to where we were going. With kids. It's probably a 10-hour drive, but 12 with kids. Because you know how the kids do.
Mm-hmm.
They add time.
Yeah.
So we stopped on the way down. We weren't going to do 12 in a row, so we stopped at a lake in Italy on the way down, a place called Lago di Garda, and went for a little swim, had some dinner, caught a little bit of sleep, and then the next morning moved on to Tuscany, where we had rented a villa with three families from Canada, three Canadian families, three of my friends growing up, all brought their families over, two of them from Canada. One of them is Canadian, but lives in France now. So they came over from France and met them there. Now, here's the one thing I think we talked about before in a show. When driving with places with kids, I highly recommend this. Do the 3 a.m. leave.
Okay.
When you're traveling like a six-hour drive or more, do yourself a favor, leave at 3 a.m., I will not do this in the future.
Okay.
It is awesome. Because what ends up happening, you wake your kids up. Not really, you don't really wake them up. You drag them out of bed, put them in the seats, buckle them down, and they stay sleeping, and off you drive. Your wife falls asleep, and you put 300 kilometers behind you before anybody wakes up.
Right.
It's awesome.
As long as you don't basically drive off the side of the highway.
But the beauty thing is you probably won't, because for the first couple hours you're not going to do that. And then at around 5, if you do it in the summertime, of course, the sun starts coming up. And so there's no traffic. And on top of that, there is no traffic.
Mm.
That's the beauty of it. So you just cruise. I tend to get a little drowsy in traffic, believe it or not. Open road, no problemo. Throw the earbuds on, listen to some podcasts. And bam, you're 300K out before anybody even knows.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. Did that. So we met the families from Canada. Schwartz, not one of them.
No.
Next time, you got to be there, man.
Maybe.
It'll be a couple years. You have some time.
Okay.
We miss you. No, I say that in all sincerity. We miss you. We would have been a great time. So hopefully next time we'll make that happen.
All right.
So rented a villa.
I'll just send my kids.
Even better.
Okay.
That's really what I was getting at.
Okay.
Yeah. So
as soon as they can fly alone to Germany, they're on their way for the summer.
I think they can now. I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah.
So we rented a villa, four families. It was big, massive place, 7 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, private pool, and one outlet to plug stuff in.
Really?
Yeah. I guess it was built, you know, by the Medici's, I suppose, and they only had the one blender, so, there you go. Yeah, really, really hard to find anywhere to plug stuff in. Huh. So that was kind of, everybody was kind of sharing outlets and charging all their devices and whatnot. So of that was course. No fun.
Yeah.
My son, who's 2, loved the diving board.
Okay.
That was his favorite thing in the whole world for 7 straight days. That's all he did from sun up to sundown was jump off the diving board. Now, I posted a few pics on the Hosers page here and the Facebook page.
So okay.
You can go ahead and see. You can see.
Are they already on there?
No. Well, they will be when you hear this.
Okay.
They're in the Dropbox. You can see them.
Yes. No, I was just wondering because I haven't been on Facebook for a few days.
So. Yeah. No. They'll go up tonight.
Okay.
So there you go. So you can see the pool. You can see my kid jumping off the diving board. I promise you, he did not. We had to drag him out for lunch at some point. So
water wings. I see the water wings.
Yeah, he can't swim yet. That's the thing. He's 2, so he thinks he can. He's all about going in the pool. And the funny thing is with this pool, it was not a kid-friendly pool at all. We had 8 kids there, all under the age of 10. There's no shallow end. And I mean, like, there's one little end where the adults could touch for about a meter, and then it just drops off to very, very deep. So it was a little bit, yeah, we had to kind of watch the kids, as you do with the pool.
Right.
Yeah. So we did that. So I shot a lot of photos around the pool. A lot of photos of him jumping off, obviously, as you pointed out already. So there's that. But that's kind of what we did, you know, and it was... Try to get a lot more in the evening and stuff, but the sun was kind of setting behind, like behind the diving board.
Right.
So shooting in there, it wasn't so good. So nobody, and then in the morning, the house itself was so tall, it cast a shadow across the pool at sunrise. So I couldn't get that perfect golden light. So I found a lot of the photos I took were right at, you know, midday.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that harsh sun, so I ended up doing a lot of the move that we talked about a long time ago called the save.
Right.
You know, where I had to bring up the shadows and bring down the highlights, etc.
Gotcha.
Still enjoyed the 1900 photos I took of my kid on the dive. So there's that. One of the days, we went to a nearby city. We were in a city called, near a town called Arezzo.
Oh, before you go any further,
yeah.
It'd be funny if, you know how we talked about, you know, going back and retaking the same kind of photo year after year,
mm-hmm.
It'd be awesome if, you know, until your son is like 17, that you just basically got him to jump off the diving board with those water wings on.
that would be
so awesome.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, at least not until he's 12. At least until he's 12.
Yeah. I hope he can swim by then.
Okay.
Is all I'm thinking, so... So one of the cities nearby. These are just a few of the things that we went and photographed and went to a city called Siena and walked around a little bit. Nice, pretty cool old, like sort of like a medieval town. I think it was medieval. I didn't really Google it. I just went for the ambiance.
Right.
So walked around with the four families and kind of everybody hung out and had some of the most expensive, worst pizza I've ever had in my life.
But it's Italy.
It was, you'd think it would be awesome, but it was actually, this was, like, everywhere else we had pizza was fine. And we had other things besides pizza, but the pizza was good.
So this was expensive for pizza?
I think we had four, like, this. It was about the slice, so it was four big slices, and we bought one drink, I think it was 15 euros. Which is a lot of money. Like that's a lot in Europe for pizza.
Okay.
It should have been. It probably should have been about $6. And so it was 15 because we're, you know, in a tourist town. So we thought we'll go sit in the main plaza where they have the horse races twice a year, and we'll have that. And the pizza tasted. I couldn't tell what was better, the pizza or the wrapper it came on.
Oh no!
Because I ate both, but
you had to get your money's worth.
I had to get my money's worth. But the experience was great. That's the thing. And so I didn't actually mind. We had a good laugh over how bad the pizza was. Really, really bad. Like, not just bad for Italy. It was bad for anything edible. It was really terrible. In fact, I should have known. Now, I don't know if this was a thing, but as we walked out of the place, which was relatively busy, some tourists snapped my photo walking out of the pizza place with the pizza. I have no idea why I didn't bother going talking to them, but I thought maybe they knew that this was the worst pizza ever and they wanted a picture of the dummy eating it.
Is it in the photo, because I'm looking at the photos from Tuscany and you're sitting in the plaza, is it the pizzeria right behind you? It says Ristorante Pizzeria La Casta?
No.
Okay, that was the good pizza place you sat in front of.
Yeah.
Because that place has lots of people milling around and it looks like, you know, that place might be the place to go to.
I think that was more of a sit-down place, though.
Okay. Well, you're sitting down.
We are sitting down. But it was an amazing experience, the way the light... Like, I wish I had more time in Siena and not so much with the two kids who were tired of being there, because the way the city is laid out, the very, very narrow streets, relatively high, not high buildings, but high enough, that it creates these amazing shafts of light all around town. At different hours of the day. And so, like, photographically, it would be amazing, except for there are a million tourists. And this is not something that I tend to gravitate towards. Like when we walk around Europe, we go to the smaller towns, like our town, for instance, like very light on tourism. And thus you can kind of go and experience the real, well, for us, the real Germany, but I wanted to experience the real Italy, and this really wasn't that. But photographically, it was a lot of opportunity. So we ended up having a great evening, just the four of us. Other families went off somewhere else and went home, whatever ended up happening. And we just sat there and enjoyed our expensive napkins and loved the experience. So,
okay, so where's the photography takeaway here?
This was the 5D and the 50 mil.
Okay, great.
Blammo, told you I needed it. no, this was actually also the sun had dipped down behind the buildings. Like the buildings behind me are west, and so the sun had dipped down behind there. Yet, so there's a lot of open shade. So it's really really great spot to take photos.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing I got a kick out of, and by kick out of I mean it drove me nuts, is the number of people walking around Italy with selfie sticks.
No, really?
Yeah. It's everywhere. And no matter what city we went to, whether it was Arezzo or Siena. And so I took a picture. Here's a guy in the square that we're eating dinner in doing some kind of a weird selfie stick pose.
That photo's not in there though, right?
It's in there. It's right ahead of the pizza one. So you see that guy there?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know what that was until you called that a selfie stick. Yeah. I thought he was doing some weird fencing reenactment.
That would have been better. Yeah, I would have preferred that. And that was just one guy. I mean, the number of people just walking around with selfie sticks, like their camera constantly on while they're selfie sticking, it was unbelievable. You know, please, and obviously, you know, I my opinion on it. I share your opinion on it. My friends who just like to basically argue with me no matter what, they're defending it, saying, no, we were going to buy some, and, you know, I think they're great, and
are they just trying to annoy you, though?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I suppose. I don't know. I said I had told them if anybody shows up with a selfie stick, I will break it. If you show up in the house on day one, I will snap that thing and we will fight in the pool. I don't care. Do not bring it. One guy did bring Speedos, though, for real. And you know who that is.
Ken.
Yes, he did. Wore them for all of 4 seconds, and then the joke was over, and that was that. But, people don't with the selfie sticks. And you know why? You want pictures of you. I get it. I appreciate that. Ask a stranger. It's probably just a friend you haven't met yet. They're not going to run off with your phone. In fact, ask people with kids to take your picture because they're not going to run off with your phone. They can't run with the kids. Ask out of shape people. That's generally what I would do is I try to find the most out of shape person and say, here, can you take my picture? And I dare them to run because this is going to be awesome.
Yeah. I never, you know what? That's never even crossed my mind.
Somebody taking off with your stuff?
Yeah.
No. Honestly, do you think thieves just sit and wait for people to hand them stuff? No, they're busy breaking in your car while you're using your selfie stick.
Right.
Get over it.
Yeah.
So anyways, saw a lot of that. Didn't do for that. You know what they have in Italy?
Ice cream.
Gelato. They do every corner, and guess what? It's awesome.
I predicted you were going to bring that up because I see a picture of your kid like smearing like ice cream all over his face. I'm like, all right, this has to be leading into that.
Yes, he's a fan.
Yeah. His loves face is a fan. It's like a deep cleanser or something that he's using it for. A chocolate wash.
A lot of it's for later. He's just keeping it for later. But I have a few different pictures in different settings, all with the same T-shirt, though. Because we figured once you go out, you might as well keep the chocolate T-shirt.
Yeah.
Because you know it's getting dirty.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. Because he's just like, what are you looking at? That's the facial expression. It's like, what? What?
So yeah, so that was the first week we did that, and then the second week everybody went home and we carried on and went camping. So we drove west out to the coast and went camping with the RV directly on the beach. Like there's the beach and then there's like a hill kind of protecting the campground, and then you're right there. So it's like a 2-minute walk to the beach every day. And that was, that was awesome. Because I'd never been to the Mediterranean before. I'd been to the Adriatic, and that's not true. I've been to the Mediterranean. I just realized I've been to the Mediterranean.
And so you just basically had like an RV, like everyone slept inside the RV?
Everyone but Dad.
Okay.
Dad slept in the tent.
Oh, no.
No, it was good. It was fine. It was fine. We bought a tent before the trip, and because the kids were excited, they wanted a tent. Oh, who gets to sleep in the tent with Dad? And the first night, my daughter, sleeping in the tent with Dad for 5 minutes, and then I want to go in the RV with Mama. All right. So next night, my son. Oh yeah. You see where this is going? 5 minutes in, it was like, all right. So that was it. So 7 nights, I just slept in there by myself.
Yeah.
Yahoo. Although, you know, got some sleep finally. So that worked out. But the camping is great there. I mean, it's not camping like you think it, like you and I grew up with. You know, or even that you do now, like when you go to Alice Lake or something like that, like you're out in the woods and semi-woods or whatever it is. This is like people are professional campers. You know, like they go and the campsites themselves are essentially hard-packed sand.
Mm-hmm.
And so people bring mats to put down that cover every square centimeter of the campsite.
Really?
The whole thing is covered with this sort of mat tarp thing that they nail down. They have a tent to sleep in. They have a tent to cook in, where they have in their full gas stove. They have a refrigerator in there, everything. Because they're there for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
Everybody has a television.
Wow.
And it is out. Like, it's out on Front Street. I don't think anybody puts it away. And it's undercover, but nobody puts it away. And the Olympics had just started, so everybody's out watching the Olympics and whatnot. Yeah. But I've never camped with a TV like that before.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there still just antenna signals?
No, satellite.
Oh, really?
Oh, they bring their satellite dishes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Then they have lights. Their whole sites are lit up. They have, like, fluorescent lights and everything like that strung up and... Oh, yeah. It's a good time.
Wow.
But I'm not sure. I'm guessing not everybody has. Like, there's a lot of spots that are just tent spots, which don't have electricity. And so those people, their camping consisted of basically hanging around the bathrooms while they charge their cell phone. So I took a picture of that.
Yeah.
And you can see that in there. There's a couple people.
I saw that picture. I was kind of wondering about that.
So people just have to go and sit and hang around the communal bathroom for half an hour while they get a charge, I guess. Camping.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it's funny because I told you I took my iPod, but didn't really care too much about keeping in touch. And but I had to. I just sent a message off one day, and so I thought, oh, maybe the campground has Wi-Fi. I don't know. It seems like they might. They did not, but I saw a number of these Wi-Fi cubes pop up. Like these data cubes, rather than, like, you know how your phone has data, right? Like 3G or 4 LTE, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Well, you can buy a dedicated cube that has the data plan, but it also has it's a Wi-Fi router. So you would just put it down in your tent.
Right.
And then everybody around could just go on and use all their devices on your data.
Okay.
They're all locked, so you can't just go on them, but I did see a number of these pop up all over the campsite.
Huh.
So people have the satellite, they've got their iPads, they got the data, they're dialed in, they're roughing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds very like what I remember of rustic camping.
Well, it's still very fun. I mean, we're right close to the beach. We spent every day at the
beach.
Yeah,
and I think that's all it is. I think for people, it's like, hey, I might as well be close to the beach and the water.
Yeah.
I'm going to basically live my life the way I always do. So no sense, leaving the grid. I'm just going to basically move the grid closer to the water.
Not a bad move at all.
Yeah.
And for most of these people, it's the whole summer. This is their cabin, essentially. Rather than have a cabin, this is what they do. Or like maybe they pull their trailer down and then build the tents around it and the cooking tent and all that. And they're there for, you know, the whole summer. And so I get it. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
you know, so I'm not actually knocking it. It's just kind of a shock from what we're used to calling camping.
I will say this. I went to Soyuz, which is basically a similar experience. You go to the water, you go to the beach. I brought my cell phone, which I'm not a big cell phone person to begin with. I did not, other than text the friend that I was going to meet up with who was also staying in a Soyuz, I did not for one second use the internet on my phone or browse or search or anything. Mm-hmm. Not 1 minute of 3 days. And I challenge most people to do that. Like, I'm not invested in my phone at all. But everywhere around you look, it's just the way it is. And so both, I think you and I feel similar with this regard. We are in the vast minority when it comes to this topic.
Well, you see people at the beach, everywhere you look, everyone's just sitting down there on their phone. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go even further. I don't have one. You know, the iPod, yes, but you know, if you don't have a Wi-Fi signal, you don't have a Wi-Fi signal.
And we had Wi-Fi at the hotel. Still, it was I didn't see the point.
No.
But again, I'm different.
We are the minority, but we're not wrong. That's what's important. We're jerks. We're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the deal. So we were at the beach, and as I said, I took the 50 mil after all. Because I tried my best, Adam. I tried my best to finally kill my 40D.
Okay.
It won't die. This thing will. I punished this thing like... it won't die. I took it in the pool when we were back at the villa. I took it in the pool with me. And I don't mean standing in the shallow end or at the edge of the pool. I took it in the pool while I was swimming.
Right.
And I kept it above the water, but there's kids splashing everywhere, and one of my friend's daughters said to me, "Is that a waterproof camera?" "No, it is not." "Well, that's really smart," she says to me, as the 8-year-olds do with their sarcasm.
Right.
And I said, "Yeah, we're good. I'll get some good photos. I don't care." And if it died that day, it died that day. It didn't. It would not go down. I took it to the beach, the Mediterranean, which the Mediterranean generally considered, to the best of my knowledge, a pretty calm body of water. It's definitely not the Pacific. Definitely not the Atlantic. The Atlantic is crazy with the waves. This pretty calm, but there were some waves that day. There were a couple few of the days. There was a lot of wind. We had some waves, and more importantly, the wind. Wind is blowing sand everywhere. There's just, like, you see it blowing. I still took my camera every day without a bag. Every day. To the beach. Didn't take pictures every day, but never knew what would happen, right?
Right.
So just threw it in my backpack, had it out, did not care. It's covered in sand. I can see sand and seawater blowing all over it. Took it out into the Mediterranean with me. People all around me, honestly, people were staring like, what is that guy doing?
Are you just going to keep naming places you took your camera?
I took my camera under that umbrella over there. Yeah. No, I was the only person taking their camera into the Mediterranean.
Okay.
Well, on that beach. I can't speak for the whole Mediterranean. It's pretty big. But I had no problem. I knew, okay, look, at whatever pictures, I'm so past expired on this camera that it doesn't matter. I don't care if I drop it. As long as I can fish the memory card out, I will leave it at the bottom of the Mediterranean. That's fine with me.
But you didn't have to.
I didn't have to. It wouldn't die. It's still ticking. Except it kind of died.
Uh-oh.
One day on the beach, I'd been shooting, and then all of a sudden, go take a picture. It will not fire. The camera's on. It's working. I cannot trip the shutter.
Maybe the shutter broke.
So I think, finally, I've done it.
But you can replace the shutter.
But every photo I've taken on here has been worth it. Like, not every photo, but I have enough photos that are worth it. Worth the cost of this camera dying. So I don't care. So I say, well, you know, we had a good run, 40D. And then I decide, you know what? You know how it goes. There's so much sand blowing around. I don't know if it's going to make a difference, but there's probably some sand underneath the shutter release button. And that is directly over top of the battery compartment. So I'll relieve the stress. I'll pop the battery out, blow a little bit, put the battery back in. It works.
There you go.
It works again. It will not die. I love that camera. Gotta have a beater. Get yourself a beater. And then, so I posted one picture of my daughter jumping into a wave just because I would never have gotten that with a good camera.
Agreed. You're preaching to the crier.
Yes. Yeah. The crier.
Or the crier.
Also that guy. Yeah. Ducky from Pretty in Pink.
Mm-hmm. No, John.
Yeah.
From Two and a Half Men.
Oh, I didn't know his name from that. Yeah. I only know him as Ducky. So that's why I ended up taking it. Had it died, I would have had my 50 mil there to back it up. So did I need it? You be the judge. I say yes.
Okay.
Probably not. Worked out. So that's it. So overall, I took a lot. I didn't take as many photos as I thought I would take. Let me back that up. That's not true.
You took more than I thought you would take.
That's not true. I took a lot of photos, but not the kind of photos I thought I would take. I thought I'd take more photos around magic hour, but things just weren't happening then. Like, you're dealing with kids. That was the issue. My kids are younger. The other kids were younger. You're kind of not in the magic hour wheelhouse like you'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff happened, but not the bulk of it was more so at noon. So that was kind of surprising to me. Overall, I did go north of 2,000 photos.
Wow.
Snapped. In my defense, a lot of them were, there was one day where me and the other dads thought it would be hilarious to jump off the diving board and catch a football. So we thought we would do, I took a number of photos on motor drive of that. Except we weren't going to just throw the football. We were going to go up to the fourth floor of the house and throw it through the open window down across the pool and hit the guy sprinting off the diving board.
Okay.
So in all honesty, that is cool and hard to do. It's kind of, it's not quite as hard as that guy who did the skydiving without a parachute the other day.
I didn't see it.
Really?
No.
You got to check that out. Goosebumps, buddy. Pretty cool. Guy jumped out of a plane at 25,000 feet without a parachute.
And how does he land?
Into a net. Oh, I mean, spoiler alert, maybe he doesn't. yeah, it was pretty awesome. But so his degree of difficulty much harder than ours, throwing through the open window down four stories to the diving board. But I photographed that, a lot of that. So a lot of the 2,000 pictures are motor drive of that.
Okay.
Also took a number because I didn't take a wide angle lens and I had some wide angle shots to take. I did take a few panorama shots. And so, you know, you can add some photos to that. But in the end, I've done one pass of these photos. I haven't gone through them all. I've gone through them all quickly once. We'll go through them again and delete more. But I've already got it down to like around 400. And it'll go down much, much lower than that when I'm done.
Okay.
So.
Promise.
Eh.
Show me when you get it down to 25.
That will never happen. That will never happen. I'm just that good at taking pictures.
Okay.
So, there's that. So, that's it. That's Tuscany. On the way back, of course, we stopped at the same lake. So, I posted a picture of that just because I loved the blue light. Like, this lake, this Lago di Garda. I had no idea about this place before we got there. So pretty cool, big lake, very popular with the windsurfing because it's very windy and people do that there. Mm-hmm. But in the evening, the sun goes down. It's kind of surrounded by these, you know, sort of mountains / hilltops, whatever they are. And so the sun goes down fairly early because of the mountains are there. And you get this amazing, amazing blue hour really early. But everything goes blue. Like, this is not done, like the photo of my two kids standing on that rock. This is, I've warmed this up. Like, this is a set on a five, like a daylight white balance.
Okay.
The sun has just dipped below, off to camera right is west. So the sun has just dipped below. And I've actually warmed this up to make it this blue.
Yeah, it's pretty blue.
Pretty blue. But just, it was really cool looking. And I warmed one up all the way to make the skin tones natural. And it just didn't have the same kind of look, like, of actually being there at this time. So I decided to keep it.
Okay.
So that's Lago di Garda.
Lago di Garda.
Yeah. That's it. That's the week in Tuscany, or 2 weeks in Tuscany.
Delightful.
Challenge for next week. I don't have anything written down. I just thought of one now because of what we talked about.
Let's hear it.
Blue Hour.
Sure.
Whew, that was easy.
Okay.
I like Blue Hour.
Me too.
Uh-huh. So there you go. I won't even use this one that from Lago di Garda, which I did not take my 40D into. Just so we're on the same page.
Okay.
Just so you know, I did not take it into this body of water.
Gotcha.
All right. I'm out of interesting stuff now.
Okay, great.
All right. Websites. Where can people find your stuff, Adam?
AdamSchwartz.ca, and I promise to post some pictures from the photo shoot with the listener Aaron and his kids that I did, and also some of our sort of little, I'll post a little summer album on our Facebook page of just some photos. I haven't posted anything in a while, so some summer photos of the kids and what we've been up to, Soyuz and whatnot.
Looking forward to it. Check out my stuff, AlanAtridge.com, or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and the photos and everything we just talked about. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.